You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. You have to be able to understand the lyrics. Every generation, I feel like, complains that they can't understand what the new generation's saying.
I can understand Lil Wayne.
Yeah. Well, and Lil Wayne is one
of
the all-time greats.
He actually opens up his mouth, right?
Yeah, so I'm relying on...
I'm not like, huh? What did he say?
Auto-tune or whatever. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Key,
yo, what
first game for the Lakers, man, after the All-Star break with the new acquisitions and all that, and early on, D'Angelo Russell rolls his ankle. That could be a problem, but apparently he's going to be okay according to the X-rays. Lakers,
right, the Lakers and ankles,
unreal. They beat the Warriors though without Steph, 124-111. So, look, that's what you're supposed to do. To me, last night, Key, was a must-win game for the Lakers because when you look at 23 games left and you want to avoid the play-in, you need 15 of those. Not that easy, right? So you got to, when the Warriors don't have Steph, you got to win that game. And they did handily. 8 players with double figures. Malik Beasley, 25. AD and LeBron shot 8 of 25. It's their worst combined field goal percentage in a game together since becoming teammates. But again, Malik Beasley had 25, and they won.
They're coming off a little bit of a layoff, too. So I'm not going to get spooked because of the way he shot the ball.
But you know what's been the problem all year, really, is that all the assets they put into acquiring Russell Westbrook, and he doesn't shoot it from range well. The Lakers shot a season-high 53% from three. It's 16 of 30. Only the second time in the entire season they shot 50% or better from three. So you can weather a low shooting percentage from the floor night from LeBron and AD.
Yeah, when somebody else could help carry. That's part of the problem with good teams. If you top heavy and then there's nothing else around you, you're going to lose those games. If those top heavy guys perform poorly and the help doesn't do anything, but in this case, the help actually came to play.
Westbrook was a disastrous fit. Like, everyone was like, what are they doing? And I was figuring, they must have a reason. They'll figure it out. It'll be this. No. It was sometimes the obvious thing is the right thing. Westbrook was an awful fit on this team. But they got some shooting now. They got more length. They got more depth. Anthony Davis, is there a different feeling with the Lakers? Listen, you hear the question, too.
Is there a different feeling on this team since the trade deadline? It seemed to be a tension lifted. You seem to be playing with more joy.
As a team?
Yes.
I think we just, we know where we are. We don't have time to be upset or, fight ourselves within. We got to be able to go out and win basketball games. So that's all we want to do is go out and have fun.
Key, when a reporter asks, you seem to be playing with more joy, is that the media seeing, well, they're winning, of course, they're happy, and then trying to reverse engineer what happens and go, oh, see, now you're playing like looser, the locker room's better, so you're playing happy and now you're winning? Or is it more like, of course they're winning. They got the pieces they need to win, so of course they're happy.
No, I think that the reporter who asked the question obviously have seen something in the past that or know something in the past. So he asked that question and you hear the answer he got where there's no tension. I mean, Anthony Davis gave him the perfect answer, which is, basically, yeah, we're not fighting within. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that? So obviously, if Anthony Davis just said we're not fighting within, the reporter didn't say that. Anthony Davis said it. So whatever that was and whoever it was, whether it was a Patrick Beverley along with a Westbrook, and whatever it was, he obviously now feels different, and that's Anthony Davis, about where they're at. That's why he answered the question the way that he did, because he feels something, or he felt something.
If you have LeBron and AD, so it comes down to two things. One, AD's got to be healthy, right? Like, that's the big thing. Of course, he misses half his games nowadays. He has to be healthy.
But something was there, Max, outside of the health.
Right. Okay, so that's one.
I don't know if that's walking by the locker room frowning at a guy. I don't know if that's kicking a guy's shoe out the way. I don't know what it is.
Well, or it could be, that's why I ask, is it structural or is it attitude? Or is it the structure of the team playing into the attitude? Because it's not that hard if you have LeBron and another superstar to put the right pieces around LeBron. Like, we know what that looks like. And the Lakers tried to do it in a very different way with Russell Westbrook. Well, he needs someone to take some of the pressure off as a ball handler and this and that, a playmaker. But really, now you just got the traditional pieces you put around LeBron. People can shoot it and spread the floor a little bit, and it looks different.
Just like everything in life, Max, if you try and make something fit and it's not working, it can destroy the chemistry as a whole, just in general. And I think whatever it was that the Lakers made the decision to go with, it was not working. So therefore, it kind of trickled down to affect everything, the chemistry in and outside the locker room. Even though you trying your best to put this chemistry together and be a team and everything's kumbaya and we're all rolling together, but it's still something in the air. And in order for you to correct that, you've got to kind of get rid of it. It's like mold, right? You got to get rid of it.
You ever been on a team where you're winning in spite of that? Or does winning just cure that?
I think winning cures it. You know, winning certainly cures it.
You think they're going to make the playoffs? Lakers?
You said 15 games out of the 23?
I figure they need to win something, like at least 15 out of the 23. So now it's 14 out of the next 22, let's say. Let's just say something like that.
I haven't looked at the entire schedule, but
got Memphis coming up. Got who else? I remember thinking it's.
Wait,
a tough
make
game
the playoffs play. Or make the play in? Because see, I count the play in as the playoffs.
By the way, I agree with you.
Yeah, I do. Because you're in a postseason. Yeah, you're in the postseason.
Yeah,
in the play in. Yeah. You're still in the postseason.
The season is over.
Oh, yes,
you're playing basketball.
Yes.
Period. Postseason.
Yeah.
I
so
agree.
I think they make the play in.
Do they advance out of the play in?
I think they do.
Me too, man.
And the reason is
high-end talent.
Well, a high-end talent, but this is the first time they really have played together, so you've now got to allow the chemistry to catch up in a short period of time, and you like on a speed track, and that's what they're doing. They're fast-tracking everything with these players.
So see the West standings. Right now the Lakers are 13th, 28, and 32. They are six games back of the third seed, the Kings, six games separates them from the third seed. 3.5 games separates them from avoiding the play-in. 3.5, I know there's not a ton of games left, but it's not like, you know, 24 games ain't nothing. You can easily make up 3.5 games in 24 games. So the West is just super interesting this year with how few games are separating that many teams. And, man, give me the team with LeBron and AD. You know, AD stays healthy.
And a lot of the teams in the West are still on their schedule in this meat piece. You know, they still got Memphis. They still got the Suns. Yep. They still have teams in the West. I think they got Golden State one more time. So when you still have those teams in the West on your schedule, you can make up that ground in a head-to-head situation.
And in terms of remaining schedule, as you know, by the records right now, the Lakers have among the easier schedules, not the harder. Although, okay, so I have it in front of me now. It's Mavericks coming up at Dallas, right? Then at Grizzlies. You got to win one of those two. You're on the road against two teams with talent, with real talent. Got to win one. Like, it's not going to be easy, but they're going to have to win one. Then they're still on the part of the road trip. They're at the Thunder. Got to beat the Thunder. Like, you're gonna have to, you can't go 0-3 in the next three games. You're gonna have to win at least one, preferably
two.
Obviously,
well, if they go 0-3, it's a wrap. Issue.
Yeah, no, for avoiding the play in, they could still make the play in. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you could call it an easy schedule, but when you have road games against teams with talent, and a lot of teams have talent, you know, it's a problem. It could be a problem.
And I think LeBron James is still a little sore, so to speak, from the All-Star game or right before the All-Star game. I think he's a little sore.
A lot of defense played in that game. You could understand why you guys are sore after
all
the defense.
Anthony Davis probably is coming, you know, getting healthier. So you still got some stuff.
That's what it all – the funny thing about sports that way and perception of teams is people kind of play the odds in their minds. They think, well, yeah, but that guy is – you know, you kind of calibrate. You work into your formulation of it. He misses, let's say it's half the games. So you kind of discount him by 50%. But understand, if AD is on the court, that's 100% of AD. That's not and 100% of AD is a lot of times better than the best player on the other team. It's a lot, but it comes down to his health and like whatever they can do to keep him upright, basically.
But it's good to see Beasley and company pick up the slack when LeBron and AD kind of struggles to a degree.
I wonder, let's say the Lakers make the play-in and they get out of the play-in and they're looking at Denver in the first round. Who do you like? To me, the pressure would be so much on a team like the Nuggets.
Well, yeah,
and
because
Jokic.
Because you assume that you're gonna have a guy who's the third
consecutive
MVP. You got a team that will have the number one seed.
Remember last time what happened when they met in the playoffs?
I don't remember.
Okay,
Denver was in a bubble, though, right?
It was, but yeah. Denver had come back on the Clippers, right? The Clippers had their foot on their throat. Denver, cardiac kids, came back and knocked out Kawhi and Paul George. Oh, my God, look at this. And then Jokic runs up against AD. AD was better than Jokic on offense and defense. He got him. He was better. And because AD was better, the Lakers won. And so if you're Denver and you see the Lakers coming in the first round, boy, you got a ton of pressure. You're supposed to win. Jokic is supposed to be the guy. AD is not even considered a top 10 player anymore because he's hurt all the time.
Are you supposed to win?
Yeah, you're supposed to.
Just because you have the number one seed in the MVP, are you supposed to win? Are
you
better?
Who do you like in that series?
I'm going to take the Lakers. And that's biased, but I just think you know how I feel about Jokic. I'm okay. He's a good offensive player. There's no question about it.
If Jokic, but with a crew like this, runs into AD and the Lakers and gets outplayed by AD and therefore they lose, you should have to give back those three MVPs. Like, stop. Stop. You got to at some point show up in the playoffs. We'll see. How concerned are you about the Warriors, by the way? 888-SAY-ESPN. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Just Key and me today.
See, I can understand him, too. Making a change today, the liquor, making the pain go away. See how simple and easy that is, Yates?
Yeah, but you know what they got now? You know why they can especially get away with it now? You could go to whatever, iTunes, wherever you go, and you can put the lyrics up and see if you need to see what they're saying. By the way, even if you know the lyrics, still can't hear them. Like, what, he said that? That doesn't sound
see,
like
I understand.
That.
Funny how life goes. I get that's easy.
Right.
I don't have to strain. And, what did he say?
Key wants to know all the words. So the Lakers beat the Warriors 124-111. Malik Beasley goes for 25. LeBron and AD don't shoot it well, but that's okay because they have one of their two best shooting nights from long range. The Lakers do. The supporting cast does. We're going to get to the Warriors in a second. You know, like, are you concerned? Are there Warriors fans out there that are thinking, man, this is not good? They didn't have Steph last night, so. Rich in Virginia. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing? Good
morning, Rich.
How you doing?
Just want to say, y'all are giving LeBron James way too much love, considering he's supposed to be the man of the NBA. He got the scoring title, but that's a longevity thing. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
It is, yeah, but it's longevity at an extremely high level.
Not really. Wait, slow up for one second.
As a professional, I know Kareem had those 4 years of college. He only got to play in three. But as a professional, LeBron is playing at a much higher level this many seasons into his career than anyone who ever lived, including Kareem.
That's like a much higher level. Every other night off.
He's not taking every other night off.
Yeah, I don't think that's helped him. Because he really, as far as whatever load management stuff, it's not like he's been doing it his entire career. This has just really become a thing in the last several years where players are so-called load managing. I don't really care.
His body's been breaking down with age.
Going to watch him play.
Like, he's been getting older.
Here are his game totals. We're not giving him too much credit. I mean, the guy wins everywhere he goes, regardless to how he constructs the team. He delivered a championship, bubble or not bubble. I think it's very hard to criticize one of the top four players of all time in the NBA. It's hard to criticize. Like, you got to almost find something.
Well, you can criticize him.
No,
but
it's
half
hard,
the stuff,
though.
But if half the stuff you're talking about, like, and I'm sure
no,
this
but
is,
it's hard, Max. You got to really be trying to find something to criticize. Oh, he doesn't shoot the ball well. He doesn't do this well. It's like, okay, man, come on.
Well, if you
last this long and been doing it this long, you're doing something good.
People understand the world through stories. Stories are only as interesting as their characters, and characters are actually only as interesting as their flaws. If they're perfect, there's nothing. What do you talk about? So I think people, that's a human nature to look for what's wrong with them, right? But Key is right about that, Rich. If half the stuff you're saying about LeBron is negative, that's out of proportion to what it is. Look, he's played, I just counted it up. So this is his 20th year, and he's played 1,400 games. That's perfect math. He plays about, on average, 70 games a year out of 82. That's modern sports.
So he misses 12 games.
In baseball, you got 162 games, a full season nowadays. You play 140, right? Like, in football's a little different, but if in a 17-game season, if a guy gets into 15 games, he basically played the whole season, basically. Missed a game or two with injury. That's what it is. 70 is perfectly reasonable.
We'd like for you to play all 17, but we get it.
70 games on average a year for 20 years is a high number, actually. Travis in Miami, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Good morning.
Morning to you.
I just wanted to touch on the matter that I don't really see the Lakers a playoff contender team, even much a play-in team, because of the lack of depth. And as far as the Golden State Warriors, when Steph come back, they'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree with the Steph thing. I think they'll be fine. You know, like, since he brought up Steph, Key. Well, first of all, the Lakers' lack of depth, it can hurt you, but playoff rotations are normally much shorter than regular season rotations.
Yeah, you 7-8, maybe.
Yeah, one of the major criticisms of Doc in recent years as a coach.
You go too deep.
Yeah, he'll play an all-five bench unit. You're like, these are the playoffs. You can't do that, right? Yeah.
So, 11th man shouldn't get any tick.
Come on, man. Not when the high-leverage games is the reason he's the 11th guy. So yes, you're right about the depth, but that may be a little less important than you think in the playoffs. The other thing is the Warriors. You know, I think it was Tim Legler, because I brought it up on this Just In, Key, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN. I like a couple weeks ago, I'm like, listen, usually a young team can't figure out how to win on the road. This is a veteran, experienced world championship dynasty team. How they can't figure out how to win on the road? He's like, I think it was Legs. It's like, when are you going to show up and play? Right? You're going to play in front of the hometown fans when you feel like you only have X number of games in you where you can go hard, when you're dealing with injury, when you're coming back. So you know what that tells me, Key? If that's the case, and they just got their foot on the gas more at home because that's when they need, they know they have, they're kind of load managing in a way. What that tells me is they might, they could chip up this year. If they could beat anybody at home, what that means is, yeah, with the money's really on the line, we'll show up.
And you win them at home and you steal one on the road.
Well, no, they haven't. Well, you can win on the road, in other words.
But you still a game on the road in the playoffs like they've done, like they did last year.
Right, you take one.
You steal one and then you
Oh, you steal one. I thought you said still. Yeah.
No, you steal a game on the road and then you win the ones at home or whatever the case is and you just make it. You're not going to sweep it. You make it, you know, you might win it in five, you might win it in
all
six.
All you got to do is steal one.
You steal one.
You defend home and steal one. You can steal one.
That's what I'm saying. You just steal one.
Yeah.
That's all that really matters.
I thought you said they still won on the road. I'm like, no, they haven't, man. They haven't been winning on the road. No. Oh, you steal one on the road.
See, I sound like one of those rappers, huh? You got, open your mouth, Key.
No, but I thought O-N-E, W-O-N, and you meant O-N-E. All right, listen. Kate in Colorado, you're on with Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
So first off, I'm going to say Keyshawn Johnson is one of my favorite Dallas Cowboys of all time, but LeBron James, like, you're gonna be the biggest in the yard if you are playing dodgeball against all those young ones, and you make sure you pick off all the young ones. Okay. He's always make sure he's on the right side of the line. That's it.
Who, LeBron?
MJ's the GOAT. That's it.
Oh yeah, well MJ's the GOAT, but you don't have to discredit LeBron to call MJ the GOAT. The GOAT is not, it's not that, well, because LeBron does this and that's weak. No, it's because they both played at an extremely high level and one guy played a little higher than the other.
It's only thing I could criticize LeBron for is putting his teams together.
Yeah, but I can't criticize him for that.
No, but I'm saying that's the only thing, meaning like you missed on that. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like you missed on this whole Westbrook thing. We could have had DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, putting this team together.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could criticize
you
for.
Right.
Like
you're
what else is there? I can't. He won a championship. You came to Los Angeles. You told me you were going to win one. You won one. You were the chosen one in high school with the headband on. You delivered 20 years ahead.
The standard for LeBron is absurd. And partly that is because of Jordan, because you're trying to match up against near perfection, and it's hard. But it's also all the scrutiny that has been on him since high school.
That's what I said. You delivered with the headband. I can't. Like, I got to.
He exceeded expectations.
I got to really find something. Like, I got to really be looking to find something to criticize him.
Yeah, when you say, because basically he stacked the deck. But wait a minute. He was sitting in Cleveland. They were not serious about putting a real team around him. He was getting criticized for not winning a championship. He had no business in the championship with this crew, right? So finally he's like, okay, I'm going to take matters into my own hand and put my own team together. What's wrong with that? He still went back home, won them a title, went to L.A., won them a title. He might not be done winning titles in L.A. Like, what
hard as hell to find something to criticize LeBron James
about. But see, that is defensive from Jordan fans. Jordan doesn't
I'm
need
a
your...
Jordan fan, too.
Yeah, but from a Jordan fan like that, Jordan does not need your help. Right? He doesn't need your help. You don't need to knock down LeBron to up Jordan. You can just compare them. By the way, Jordan wins. You're good. You don't have to worry about it. But you can have an honest comparison where you look at it objectively and someone else might think LeBron wins. They would be mistaken, but they might think that.
How would you be mistaken?
About LeBron over Jordan?
Man, I'm not Stop about it. To get... I'm not
the
76ers
had an impressive win last night. Does anything they do in the regular season matter?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I just want to know what they're singing. Turn out the lights.
Who can tell anymore?
Yeah, it's what he's saying.
You got to look it up.
I'm looking look for.
Up. Yeah, you got to look it up. You can't hear it anymore.
Turn out the lights.
I'm looking for what? I'm looking for song.
See, I could be a rapper then.
All right, let's hear it.
Turn out the light. And just like get on the stage and people would know.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, you can help the people affected by the Turkey earthquake, one of the worst natural disasters certainly of my lifetime. Please visit redcross.org/ESPN, redcross.org/ESPN, to help the Red Cross respond. So, Key, Sixers beat the Grizz. And the Grizz were having their way early, but the Sixers played well down the stretch. James Harden with 31, Embiid 27 points and 19 boards, and a key block late in the game in a one-possession game in the fourth quarter of Ja Morant, who skied to dunk it, and Embiid went all the way up and blocked it. Clean. Like, one, it's as good an in-game block as you want to see.
And that's the difference between him and Joker.
Yes! Yeah. Embiid is a defense, is a defensive stopper, too. You know, let's see him win a championship, by the way. But I think the disconnect is that the Joker's working on his third straight MVP. And if you had to give the edge between Jokic and Embiid, you'd probably give it to Embiid. Okay, the Joker's having a great season this year. I get it. Probably maybe his best yet.
He had a great
season
every year that he's won the MVP.
Yes. Yep. Yep. But Embiid got him head-to-head, and Embiid is a great defensive player, and Jokic isn't. Anyway, Sixers come back on the Grizz and beat him 110-105. Reggie Miller told a story on the broadcast yesterday at some point in the first half when the Sixers were down about how Doc had to stop practice because you know, just it was lackluster, right? And he invoked the name, which he's hesitant to do, KG, talking about how if Kevin Garnett was on a team, there's no way a practice goes like this. Like, and he put it on Embiid and Harden, like, man, this is basically, this is your team. How do you let this happen? And I guess it made them more serious, but they certainly got the results against a team to which they were losing, to whom they were losing, and not looking great early. Came back
it's,
on
it's a certain It's a certain mentality in professional sports that you have to have. From a leadership standpoint on teams, if you have, and one of the things that KG was all about is taking things serious, demanding certain things a certain way, and all what I deem as great players have that quality in them, whether it's Kobe Bryant or KG or Michael Jordan. I mean, you know, they just have a certain there's a certain authority that comes with being a superstar and a leader of a team. And I think that the Sixers clearly have a good roster, a good team, and I believe a good coach. But if you're missing that leadership and control, take control because it's your team, you're not going to win a championship that way. You can't have 11 or 12 passive guys on the team that just coasting along and thinking that the ability
– on any team, not just in sports.
You know, yeah. Ability – is just going to carry you. No, you got to have a little bit of that, you know, that mentality of okay, I'm not going to let this happen, period.
Yeah, but by the way, it's basic group dynamics, man. You have a group of people. You need someone to be.
Absolutely.
Right, if there's a task to perform.
Well, you got to have a jerk. You got to.
Yeah, or, you
too
know,
many,
just a,
too
a,
many nice guys. You ain't going to win them championships with too many nice guys.
Leo DeRocher was the manager of the New York baseball Giants way back in the day, was talked to, basically being called a jerk, and he said nice guys finish last.
Oh, 100%.
Which, well, but not all of them, but yeah, in his case, they
were
pretty
good. Well, when you're talking about a team, in a team aspect, not individually, but in a team aspect, nice teams, they're going to finish last. I mean, it's just, that's just the reality of it.
You know,
give me a nice team, man. Give me a nice team.
Embiid, you know, has been challenged by guys like Shaq, for example, through the years when he was younger, to be more dominant. You should be getting, you know, Shaq was like, you should be having 150 on average, every 100 points, 50 rebounds.
Well, because you are.
But Embiid has risen to the challenge.
You're the biggest, baddest dude on the court,
though. Yeah, he is.
He's, so you're supposed, like Shaq said, you're supposed to do things a certain
but
way.
But he never shied away from that. He embraced that challenge. And Embiid, last night in a one-possession game, that block I was talking about with Ja, which considering who was trying to dunk, even though he's a smaller player, but he's a skywalker, right? That's one of the best in-game blocks you're going to see. Close one-possession game. It's late. The dunker of the era type guy is going up trying to dunk it on your head. Now, that was his sixth block on top of that. You're talking about it's the fourth quarter. You already got five blocks in the game. Game's on the line. You do that type of stuff. It's a lot.
Sometimes guys are shy away from that too, Max.
Yeah.
The ones that are not, you know, they just shy away from it. That's right. Not Embiid. They look up and go, oh, I'm not getting ready to get posterized. Let me just fake like I'm going to go up.
Yeah, no. He's blocking your shot clean, too. So, look.
Not the line.
Are you buying anything they do, though, between now and the end of the season? Or is this just a two-horse race Celtics-Bucks?
Oh, that's not – okay. I thought that was a tease.
No, I'm talking. I'm asking.
Yeah, of course I'm buying it. Because when you look at it every single year, they're right in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then something goes wrong, right? If you go – the year that the Hawks beat him, Ben Simmons just didn't, it was a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the Kawhi year, the finals.
Could have easily not been a
Yeah, that was
shot.
A bounce. Oh, my God, it went in. We go home. You guys stay and
get
play.
Get to play a team with down KD and then eventually also Clay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so now you look at it, I think when you think about it, you say it's only the Celtics and the Bucks. I wouldn't shy away from putting the Sixers right there.
I agree.
Either.
I totally agree. I think if I had to rank them, I'd say Bucks 1, Celtics 2, Sixers 3. But those are the three teams that have that are live to
because those are really the only three teams we talk about in the East.
But that's the reason for that. They separated themselves. Those three. You know, Toronto fell on some hard times. 888 say ESPN 729-3776. Jimmy in Chicago. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and X, ESPN Radio.
Good morning, fellas. First of all, my name is Jimmy Joe Pesci. I told the guy that I don't know how you cut my name down to Jimmy. But anyway, Keyshawn, man, I want to talk to you, man. No disrespect to you, man. And you know, Keyshawn, you say some things that are out of this world. Like you, not to disrespect you, Keyshawn, but you mind if I call you K-Bob?
Yeah.
From yesterday.
K-Bob?
Do you mind? Can I call you K-Bob or no?
Yeah. K-Bob. Yeah. K-Bob.
He wants to call you K-Bob the way you call J-Bob.
I want to tell you something, K-Bob, man. You say you can't criticize LeBron. The only thing you can criticize is him stacking his team. What about him flopping, man?
Flopping?
You can't criticize him for flopping. He used to flop before.
So in other words, if you manipulate the rules to your advantage, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, the greatest of all time, supposedly self-proclaimed.
The whole league was flopping. There was a problem with the whole league flopping.
No. He never said you can't criticize him. He's saying that criticism is out of proportion.
No. The whole league was not flopping. I can name three or four players off the top of my head that was not flopping. D-Rose flopping. D-Rose was not flopping. Dude, the whole league was not flopping.
Who?
You can't say that. My point is, you can criticize him for more than one thing, K-Bob.
Hey, listen, K-Bob? wait, hold on. Listen.
No, let him go.
Nuno, take down Jimmy Joe Pesci's number, please.
No, leave him alone. I'm
saying this can't be the last time he appears on the show, is what I'm saying, Key. Just make sure you get this dude's number. All right, we have some bills to pay, K-Bob.
K-Bob.
Hey,
feel good for the day, man.
Yeah, will Harden and Embiid continue to be in the zone against the Celtics Saturday night on ABC? Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. How about this one? Try this one. If you're a Lakers fan, do you give up the bubble title in exchange for the greatest prospect in the game since LeBron?
What?
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
It's 23 of the most important games of my career for a regular season.
Lakers might have to go something like 17-6 in order to make up that gap. It's a major challenge ahead.
The way the West has looked, I can't dismiss the possibility that the Los Angeles Lakers could make some noise.
And I think as these pieces are better pieces than what they had before, I still see this team being, you know, an 8 seed who goes out or has an exit in the first round.
You're always going to give them a chance because they have LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
See, I understood him right there. $100,000 for the cheapest ring on the finger. See, I can understand a little of that. Yeah. Right? $100,000.
So,
granted, she was standing right?
Yeah. More or less, you can take a few words. You get the gist of it.
Yeah, for
Keyshawn,
sure.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Key, when you hear...
what you mean, man?
What's that?
He hates it by ear. What's wrong with you?
This dude is crazy.
He Max. Likes to know... Old people like to know the words to all the songs. That's how it happens. You hit Max. A certain age, you have a certain number of kids, and all of a sudden, if you don't understand a single word, it bothers you. These young kids, I can't understand.
I can see Key in the car, Max, with the phone open. You know, if you watch the Jordan play the song, it'll change to the lyrics. He just following it word for word with the finger on the phone.
Hold
on, rewind that Jordan back. What'd he say?
My dad used to play Sinatra. If you're in a car with my dad, I'm like, Dad, I like Sinatra, but can we listen to something?
Yeah, but I'm not listening to Sinatra.
But he was.
No,
all
I'm
the
saying,
time.
I'm not that. Well, no, like well, old, man.
Right,
that's
right,
granddad.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, if I ever convince them to turn off, there used to be channels that just played Sinatra,
yeah,
right?
So uh-huh.
If I turn it to anything else, I can't understand one word. So I thought half the reason he liked Sinatra as much as he did is he could understand the words. That's what happens when you get old.
No, you I like hear the words. I like the beat.
For some reason.
Hey, yeah, he's real quick before Max go on to the Lakers. Bussy, is that what you call it? Ain't that the word now? Bussy? Like mean good or fire or something?
Oh, it's bussing.
Bussing.
Yeah, bussing. Yeah.
You didn't know that, Max.
Bussy.
Stop.
Yeah.
You didn't know anything about bussing.
But,
that's
like, but, stop, but it's like it's like B-U-S-T-I-N.
I don't know what it is. All I know is that he was telling me it's bussing. And I'm
it's
like,
bussing. I mean, yo, that's doing good. Yo.
I understand that now, but
he's
when
trying
it first
to derive from the word busting.
But
and that'll be as far as this conversation
the
goes.
The word is bust.
But wait, yo. When my kids was at dinner, they said, oh, this is bust. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
That's who teaches you. That's who keeps you up on slang is your kids.
Key goes to Urban Dictionary. Let me find out what this bussing is.
Urban Dictionary.
He's Googling why don't you just say it's good? He's very confused.
Or fire.
A school bus.
I mean, like, come on.
Is that what you heard when you were like, yo, that's fresh? And people were like, what, fresh? What do you mean?
All right, go ahead.
I remember when it went from deaf to fresh. I was like, man, I was just getting used to deaf. It's fresh now.
Fire.
All right. When you hear Windy Key say this about a prospect, knowing that if you miss the playoffs, the Pelicans have your first round pick, and there's a small chance it could be the number one pick, which would be Victor Wembanyama. Like, think about this for a second. Here's Brian Windhorst on Greeny, which is a terrific radio program that follows this one here on ESPN Radio. Listen to Windhorst talk about the 7 foot. He's listed between 7'4 and 7'6, depending on who you believe. So let's call it 7'5. The 7'5 Victor Wembanyama. Listen to this.
He's got Kevin Durant style skill. He's in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's body, and he's had a preparation level that is even deeper and more impressive than LeBron's was 20 years ago. He has been getting ready for this for a very long time. He has got an incredible competitive streak. As somebody who saw LeBron very closely and was there on the journey when he was 18 years old. It is a revolution how Victor is preparing for the league compared to LeBron. And it's not an indication of what happened with LeBron. It was 20 years ago. The world is different now. But in terms of preparation for the NBA, Victor is like LeBron 2.0.
First of all, it's not right that he's in Kareem's body. Kareem's only 7'1". This kid is 7'5", something like that. Come on. It's not easy.
Not a cap with 7'2".
7'1", Key, but let's call him 7'2". He still ain't 7'5". It's different. By the way, when people discount Wilt, could you imagine if you fast forward 30, 40 years, and now the average height of the player is 7'3", and when they look back at Wembanyama, they're like, come on, man, he's playing against 6'10 dudes. But he is. He's 5 inches taller than the other centers, but
that's
he plays
why,
like a guard or a forward.
That's why when you think about it and you just look up at them dudes, you wonder how guys like Jay, and you have to appreciate.
He went second overall.
Second overall, and them dudes is like two car lengths bigger than him.
He went second overall to a Chinese, so like that taps into an enormous market. 7'5".
To be on the court with them and be center. Able to compete is crazy.
That's unbelievable that Jay's got to be sitting there. Of course he is. Like, wait, Yao Ming had to come out. Like, think of how effective it is to be that height with Yao's skills. And on top of that, the market he can tap into to grow your league.
I'm not even.
Oh, my. And your team. Oh, my God.
Man, going first, going second. Same thing to me.
Really? Same thing?
Man, you're the top. You're the top enchilada.
You feel pretty good about your. You think, does it bother you where you were drafted?
No.
You think Jay feels the same way?
I think Jay feels the same way.
Yeah, I think you guys probably feel a little bit different about where you
were. No, absolutely, man, it's the same thing.
I think that's
it's
right.
The same thing.
I actually do think it's the same thing.
The same
if you're
thing.
Key, if you're a top three, usually
it's the same.
It could
thing.
Be any it, one you, of you guys. Usually, yeah, they just take the tallest guy.
Your ego might sting for that night. Like, oh man, dude, you're like, okay, so one guy goes at 5 o'clock, the other guy's at 5:05. Okay.
Yeah, but Jay, you know how Jay says what fueled him was when he was mad. So Jay remembers slights from 20 years ago.
There's no way you mad as the number two pick. I wouldn't have been mad.
Are you familiar with Jason Williams, our friend?
I wouldn't have been
mad. Are you familiar with our friend Jason?
I still talked at it as the number two pick.
Wayne, so before I even get to Wayne in Montana, would you give up the title the Lakers won in the bubble if it meant you could have Wembanyama?
Can you say Victor Wembanyama?
Wembanyama?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it up.
Me too.
Yeah, I had to think about it, though, at first when it was first question was posed to me.
He thought about it first. He was like, I don't know if I want it. Then he watched Wembanyama and it was like.
I swear to God, I really was watching him.
Yeah.
Just through our B-roll.
Yeah.
And I've watched basketball, played basketball, been around it my entire life. I've never seen a dude that big move that gracefully with that skill set. And being able to do the things he's able to do. And we've seen tall ones, right?
Right.
We've seen big, long, lanky,
KD.
7 foot. But Kevin is not 7'5"
or whatever.
Five
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah. No.
It's just not. He's not that.
Yep.
And this dude's only going to grow in his body.
Yeah, he's gangly still. What happens when
yeah.
he gets diesel? Like,
oh,
like,
my God,
like,
yes.
Like Antetokounmpo.
Even if the Lakers, yeah, I would give up that bubble championship because I got him for 10 years, 12 years of that with growth. Of course I would give it up. Because we got so many already anyway.
You know what's hilarious to
this
me?
This isn't the Sacramento Kings got to hold on to their championship forever.
You know what's hilarious to me? All these years where Knicks fans were like, oh, tank for this one or that one. Oh, we're no good anyway. Because they weren't even trying to tank. They were trying to be good. They were just sorry anyway. They finally got good enough that they got no shot at Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah, but he doesn't
That's
work.
That's hilarious.
As crazy as it sounds, he doesn't work in New York.
Oh,
you know
yeah?
why?
I have a feeling
you know
he works
why?
On Mars.
No, you know why?
Why?
Because he's a superstar. Mm-hmm. In the Knicks, in basketball.
Never get a superstar.
They don't never get
Not
a superstar.
Since Patrick
so it
Ewing.
Doesn't work. Sorry.
Yeah, Patrick Ewing was. That's the last one, really. And then Carmelo chose to go to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the two.
But see, coming to New York would waste his career. He would never win championships.
Never. Right. It would be a waste of Wembanyama's career.
So it doesn't work.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers is out of the darkness, Keith. But do the Packers want him back? And more importantly, maybe, did he see his shadow? And how many more weeks of winter do we have? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.